I mean, that was the same thing that happened to Kofi Annan.
Right.
He came out very hopeful and optimistic about his mission. But at the end of the day, he said, okay, I gave up. I cannot work. The problem here is the fact, and I want to emphasize here, the core problem here is the fact that the rebels and the oppositions and their supporters, which are the United States, the West, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, they have this ultimate goal in their mind to remove the Bashar Assad government, to topple
the government.
A government in Damascus.
Right.
And as long as the government is Damascus, any government with this mentality that these people have their mind just one simple goal, and that is to topple me, it will resist. I mean, instinctively, naturally, it will react aggressively to not let this happen, to survive. So the tendency, the willingness to survive is something that will embark the government, which with all those resources in its hand, to act. So this is the core of the problem. Okay. In my view, the key to the solution, finding a solution for the Syrian crisis, is in the hands of Tehran and Ankara. Of course, United States is a very important player, but just imagine that tomorrow Ankara changes position. Washington has to review its strategy for Syria.
Right.
Of course, as I said, Qatar, Saudi Arabia,
all players
are important, but the key role here, as far as the oppositions are concerned, is in the hand of Turkey. So, if
Is it because of the long border between the two countries?
Yes, exactly. I mean, if Tehran and Turkey could work together to find a middle way, a realistic way for solving this problem, I'm sure that the other players somehow have to accept it. Great. And to just accommodate with that.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, let's take another short break and we'll be back right after this. So please do stay with Central Stage. Hello again, great to have you back with us. Now, tensions between the Turkish and Syrian governments have reached unprecedented heights over the past few months, and two countries which once shared a strong economic relationship as well as a 560-mile border have had a falling out, particularly since a couple of months ago. Now, the ceasefire, if actually practiced, is a positive development. But Dr. Al-Hashimi, some analysts fear that such tensions may in future escalate into a full-scale war between the two countries.
The possibility is always there. In my assessment, if the situation deteriorates to a point where, let us say, Turkey would like to exercise historic claim, because, you know, all this parcel of land one day was under the Ottoman Empire, and the British took a grab of land in Palestine from one people, gave it to another people, and created this scenario in the Middle East. I'm sure you and I would have been talking about totally different topic if it wasn't the Zionist entity bordering this country. And the escalation between Turkey and Syria is, of course, to the benefit of the Zionist entity, because weak Syria, of course, it's good to have around, and as you know, the Golan Heights are in the hand of the Zionist entity now, as we speak. The rulers of Syria could not, in a peaceful way, reclaim the Syrian land in Golan Heights. Now they opened two frontiers to gradually weaken and erode the military might of Syria. And probably you heard about the red line the American put for the Syrian government not to use the chemical weapon after there were some indications that if the regime is being cornered, the regime may resort to this kind of rudimentary weapons. Mm-hmm. But of course, it is enough to send two shells to occupied Palestine, and you would see half of the settlers leave the country, and this is not good for the Zionists and their American backers. Right. It is for that reason they drew a red line in that, you see, respect. But when it comes to the escalation of the situation between Turkey and Syria, I'm very much hopeful that the Turkish politicians will demonstrate some maturity and do not fall in a trap which was very similar to a trap the Americans got Saddam Hussein into when he got the green light to go and resolve his dispute with the neighboring Kuwait, which again one at one time in history it was part of the city of Basra, the southern part of Iraq. So here Turkey, it was very perturbing to see a policy which was with some national tone in it. The leadership there need to lessen the escalation and not to buy into what the NATO want Turkey to do in that part of the world. For the simple reason, Syria is not another Libya.
Right.
We can talk about this, but the escalation is not to the benefit of the peoples of the region.
Right.
I'm very much hopeful that the Turkish politicians will play the role of leadership and show a stance very similar to the stance they showed the American when the American wanted to open northern frontier to attack Iraq. They offered Turkey $8 billion bribery, but the Turkish parliament at that time said no, because there is a historic coexistence between all these nation-states.
Dr. Al-Hashimi, you're talking about the red lines, and we know that Obama has actually said that if Syria moves the chemical weapons and use them, that's the red line, as you know, said by Obama. And we know that Romney has said that if basically where the president of the US, he would basically arm the insurgents. So that will have some impacts on the future of Syria. I mean, so probably the American elections also are quite important when it comes to the future of Syria.
Very much so. And we spoke about the paradigm shift internally in the minds of the politicians in Damascus, as well as the leaders of the opposition slash rebellion.
Okay.
The second paradigm shift in the mind of the politicians in Ankara I alluded to. The third paradigm shift, which is needed, mm-hmm. is in the mind of the politicians in Washington, D.C. Now they are talking about post-Assad scenarios, and even the French recently, French politicians spoke about this when it came to rendering some humanitarian aids for the refugees. Hundreds of thousands of human beings are becoming homeless, and we are practically entering in the winter season. This could be a human tragedy.
Great.
Nobody
Thank you very
would
much.
Excuse America if the Republican president would like to arm the opposition as if the armament coming from Saudi and Qatari wealth to complicate the issue was not enough. So very much paradigm shift is needed there. If they want to give the effort of Al-Akhdar al-Ibrahimi a chance to succeed, they need to support him to the fullest. Otherwise,
I'm not
surprised to see Al-Akhdar Ibrahimi give up if he finds the situation very frustrating for him.
Great,
because,
excellent.
The giving up point is very important.
Thank you very much
indeed. In the career of the politician.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Al-Hashimi. Now, we are actually in the 19th month of the civil war. The current death toll is estimated at more than 30,000 lives. Some estimates, Dr. Khani, put it even at 44,000, so we exactly don't know the exact figure of casualties. But how do you, probably it's a very difficult question, but how do you see Syria a couple of years from now?
It's very difficult to predict. It very much depends on the role of the outside players and what happens inside. Even within the Syrian government, I mean, there are players who have the potential to, for example, we have Farouk Ashar, who can come up with an idea. He's a popular face in Syria. Mm. So, I mean, it very much depends on the role of the outsiders and also insiders, and how they can coordinate with each other. Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize again the point that I mentioned earlier. Iran and Turkey are the key players, and their cooperation in this issue can save lives. I hope, I mean, two sides can come up with a plan in order to bring peace and ceasefire to Syria.
It's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, Iran and Turkey are basically supposing two opposite sides, and now they've come together. So what do you think, I mean, caused this sort
of... You know, the interesting thing about Turkish position is the fact that just a couple of years ago, the AK party, AK party in Turkey, I mean, they come up with this doctrine of zero problem with neighbors, which was very attractive. And just at the beginning of the protests in Syria, they started to change. I mean, it's a very big question that how zero problem with neighbors doctrine turned to a total confrontation and even a war, a total war with Syria, which is a neighbor. And the tension between Ankara and Tehran, we know that has been on the rise. So there are voices now in Turkey demanding a change. So if Turkey can somehow moderate its position and finding common ground with Tehran, I'm sure that there are a lot that can be done.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests, Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi, the founding director of Ihsan Muslim Heritage Society in Toronto, and Dr. Muhammad Hassan Khani, political scientist and faculty member at Imam Sadegh University in the studio. Until next week, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very
nice
much.
To be with you.
Great to have you with us. Thank you.
Are you fed up with glossy and colorful media? Are you seeking the truth? Are you looking for a medium through which you can express your ideas? Is there a topic you believe must be discussed in the media? Are there any issues or points you believe other people in the world must be informed of? Faith, life, religion, the world, happiness, sympathy, empathy, truth. Saha TV International Network, English service. The voice of truth. The medium of truth.